Each and every one of you had a wonderful Christmas day, that you spent it with family and friends, but most importantly, that you spent that time reflecting upon the majesty and the beauty and the wonder and the magnificence of Jesus Christ our Lord, and whom we continue to preach and to proclaim and to worship even today. And today, as I was coming into the foyer, I hope I don't embarrass anybody, I don't think so, but a very dear friend of mine, and I'm going to be emotional throughout this whole sermon, a very dear friend of mine comes into the foyer, a kid I've gone to school with since kindergarten, and we've always been dear friends, close friends.
And I got a message the other day that he had trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And Katie and I was worshiping, just proclaiming Christ, and that, man, he can save. And we were excited about that. And I was not expecting Shannon to come today. And my heart is just bursting this morning, church, with joy unspeakable and full of glory, that this Jesus that we've been preaching, that we've been looking upon his face through the scriptures, he saves. He grips from the pit of hell, and he truly does. He sets people upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ, and he gives them eternal life. He redeems them from their sin. And I'm so thankful that today I worship with not just a friend, but a brother in Christ. That is a glorious, wonderful gift to me today, that a very dear friend of mine is now a child of the King. And the Lord just is sovereign in all of this. I know this. I don't doubt his sovereignty, his power, his majesty, his glory, his wonder. I don't doubt any of that. And so we look, and we're looking at John 3:16 solely here today. There is not a more appropriate sermon to preach. Always, but there's something special about it to me even more today. And here, as we are working our way through the Gospel of John, I pray you don't get tired of this, of hearing John 20:31. John wrote this gospel so that these things that are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Shannon Payne has life through the name of Jesus Christ. Today, you have life through the name of Jesus Christ. And there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no way for us to attain unto the glory and the wonder and the standard of Christ, of God the Father, but only through Christ Jesus. And we want to see him in all that he is as we proclaim Christ today in the scriptures. So look with me in John chapter 3, verse 16, as we looked last week, and very familiar verse, a memory verse that the vast majority of us, if not all of us here this morning, have committed to memory from the time that we were a little child. And we teach it in Sunday school, we teach it in Bible school, we teach it to our children when they're growing up, and we just so flippantly allow these words to fall off of our lip and off of our tongue without giving thought to the profundity of this one text, this one verse in Scripture. This has had an impact on the multitudes. This has had an impact on all of eternity. This one verse here, as we expound upon this truth here, and as we see the glory and the wonder of Christ Jesus, we could literally spend weeks on this one verse, just unpacking its truth and the impact it's had on eternity and all of mankind. And hear these words spoken by the Savior to Nicodemus would have shaken Nicodemus's entire world view. Everything that Nicodemus thought concerning the Messiah. And Jesus is proclaiming this, declaring these things to Nicodemus. It would have shaken his world. It was rocked his world, his whole worldview of what he once thought about the Messiah and his purpose and his coming and what he was to come to do. And what Jesus now says would have completely shaken his worldview. You see, Nicodemus, along with other Jews, just they thought highly of themselves and very low of anyone else. They looked down upon those who were not Jew. And so when Jesus declared to Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world," he was declaring that to Nicodemus, that God not only loves the Jews, but he loves the Gentiles as well. He loves the Jew as well as the Gentiles. This would have literally shaken Nicodemus to the core. This God that Jesus speaks of is the God of Abraham, the one who called this heathen man out and made him a father of many nations. He's speaking of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who delivered the Hebrew children out of Egypt. He was speaking of the God who provided for the children of Israel in the wilderness with water from a rock, who fed them with manna, the one who delivered them from their enemies, the God who chastened them, the God who loved them, the God who promised them a land and gave them the promised land and led them into it. And all of this God did because he was motivated by love. As John says in 1 John 4:8, because God is love. And here Jesus declares, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That is not a fairy tale. That is not a myth. That is real. Those very words right there, we should understand the sobriety of it and the significance of it. Every time we quote that verse to ourselves or we help our children to memorize that verse, we must help them to understand the profundity of that one verse and the significance of it for all of eternity. God so loved the world. God the Father and his agape love, an unconditional love for people of every kindred, every tongue, every people, every nation, as we read in Revelation chapter 5. God so loved the world from the mightiest king to the lowliest slave. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, gave a gift to those who did not deserve nor want such a gift. Who are you? Who am I to deserve such a gift as Jesus Christ? Who are we that God the Father would send his only begotten Son to redeem a broken, depraved, totally depraved people unto himself? But what we find in Romans chapter 5, we read that God commended his love toward us when, church? While we were yet sinners. God didn't wait until you began to be a good person. He didn't wait until you cleaned yourself up. You see, Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundations of the world. This Messiah, this Jesus, this Redeemer was in the eternal mind of God. God in his eternal mind purposed that God the Son would die in the place of sinners. And God commended this love, this unconditional agape love towards you while you were yet sinners. Christ died for you. He died for Shannon. He died for me. And again, as Jesus here, as he's having this dialogue or this conversation with Nicodemus, and Jesus all throughout chapter 3 here referring to Old Testament passages like, as we've already looked at, such as in Ezekiel, and when he was referring about being washed by the water and the blood, or in Numbers chapter 21, speaking of Moses and setting up the bronze serpent that whoever would look upon it would be healed and would live. And now here is he speaking with Nicodemus of God the Father giving God the Son as an atonement for sin. Certainly Nicodemus would have thought about Genesis chapter 22. Where God asked and required that Abraham offer his only son Isaac up on the altar of sacrifice. And as they were walking up the mountain, and Isaac is looking around, and he knows what is required of a sacrifice. And Nicodemus would have recalled all these things to his mind as Jesus was declaring these things to him. And Isaac, as they're walking up the mountain, asks a question. We see this in Genesis chapter 22, verses 7 and 8. It says, And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? We know this account. It's very familiar to us. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so they both went up together. And here we know the rest of the story. As Abraham had taken the knife to slay his son, and was about to bring the knife to take the life of his son, an angel called out and spared the son. And what did he find? A ram caught in a thicket. Dale Taylor was showing me a picture the other day as he was working on a farm, and a buck deer had gotten its rack caught up in some grapevines and had, I guess, broke its neck, and there it lay dead. It just had its horns caught. We were like, how does that happen? I don't know. It just does. And here, this is a sovereign ordained plan of God that he had laid out for Abraham and Isaac to show that God will provide a lamb. And so they had a ram caught in the thorns in the thicket. And here Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah will provide. And here Jesus declaring that God sent his son, a true and better Isaac. Jesus was and is the only perfect sacrifice. Not only did God provide for himself a sacrifice there with Abraham and Isaac, God provided for himself a lamb in Jesus Christ, a perfect lamb, one who would and did come to take away the sin of the world. John recorded in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, he says, In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is the profound truth here. God demonstrated, he illuminated, he made known this divine agape love toward us. How? He manifested it so clearly in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, his only Son, so that you and I might live through him. Remember, John said that same thing in John chapter 1. In him was the life and the light of men. It is that moment here. It's John so clear here in his love, not that we love God. It's not as if we demonstrated our love toward him and then responding, he saved us. No, we love him. How come, church? Because he first loved us. He demonstrated that love. It is clear love. It is a divine love. It is an agape love. It is manifested, made known in the personal work of Jesus Christ, not because we love him, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, the payment for the debt that we owed, to reconcile to the one to whom we were indebted. God's eternal, unconditional love was made known to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And in Jesus, there is life, true life. It is truly, you were once dead. There's a moment in time that you were dead in trespasses and sins. But then because of Christ Jesus, you had the lights turned on. Jesus in him was life and the light of men. You once dwelt in darkness, but as Justin read this morning, you have been transferred. You have been brought out of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of light. You were literally picked up, no strength of your own, no merit of your own, no ability of your own. God the Father ripped you out of the darkness in which you loved, and he redeemed you and placed you into the kingdom of his dear Son through no merit of your own, because he loved you. What was in you that he loved? What was in you that he desired? Nothing. And you're like, nothing? There had to be something. No, this is all a work of God. There's nothing in us that God would have desired. So he had to change us. He had to redeem us. He had to purchase us. And so we were dead in trespasses and sins, made alive in Christ. You were once lost, but now you are found. You once walked in darkness, but you've been rescued from the darkness, and you've been brought into the light of Christ and all who look upon him. Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, black or white, will receive eternal life. Certainly and clearly we know this, the wages of sin is death. And Christ settled that debt for those who believe. What a wonderful truth that is. Our debt has been settled. We have been reconciled to the Father. And you and I have received the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. And in the eternal mind of God, the Son was ordained to be the propitiation for the sins of those who believe. In Isaiah 53, beginning verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Again, in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, he said, "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Here, Jesus declared to Nicodemus, his good works were not enough. They didn't even come close, and as a matter of fact, they were worthless and putrid in the eyes of God, the one whose standard is perfection. Therefore, it was necessary that God the Father send God the Son to atone for sin. I love what the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. I want to give you a second. I just want you to look at these words. I want you to underline them. One verse, but what a profound statement. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Christ Jesus came in the world to what, church? Save sinners. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful for that, Shannon? I'm so thankful that Jesus came in the world to save sinners. And the Apostle Paul says he was chief. This is a wonderful, glorious truth. Because you are a sinner. I am a sinner. We needed rescued. From who? From ourselves? No. We needed rescued from God himself. For the wrath of God abides upon the unbelieving sinner. And his judgment is just. Do you understand this? God would have been just to condemn every one of us to a devil's hell. He would have been just in doing so. So that the very fact that you know Christ, that your sin has been atoned for, that is mercy. That is grace. That is love. No, we need rescued from God. His wrath, again, abides upon the unbelieving. His judgment is just. How do we escape such a judgment? How is the wrath of God removed from us? Only in Jesus. And just as Paul declared, Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Jesus came to make sinners righteous. He came to make you acceptable before God the Father. This would have been counterintuitive to everything Nicodemus ever thought, ever believed, ever taught. Again, the Jews were taught that God was going to condemn the Gentiles, but Jesus declared that God sent the Messiah to save the world. Not condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that is the promise that we have in Jesus. That's what we celebrated yesterday. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And because Jesus came into the world to save sinners, you who are saved here this morning have that hope and that promise that cannot be taken away of eternal life secured in the heavens until he comes to redeem or to call us home, a people unto himself for all of eternity. Aren't you thankful, friend? Aren't you thankful for Jesus today? Let us make him known everywhere we go. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful gift that we've received in Christ Jesus, this gift of eternal life, this gift that we did not deserve, nor do we deserve. We could never measure up. We could never attain to that, Father. But yet, in your divine mercy and grace and in that divine decree that you sent Jesus into the world to save sinners, and those who believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. And so, Father, we praise you for that today. We worship and glorify you. Lord, help us to be faithful ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we have been the recipients of the gospel. There have been others who have come and have shared with us the gospel, and that in that we might believe in Jesus Christ. And it is incumbent upon us. We are commanded to go and to make Christ known everywhere, Father. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for your salvation and the hope that we have in Jesus. May your name be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.